Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
GetUp.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Or you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Well, another week of life in 2020 has passed.
And
thank you, God, we're here. And I don't say that lightly either.
No, not at all. Not at all. It is good to be here another week. Good chatting with you.
How you been, man?
I'm surviving, putting one foot in front of the other and, just doing what we do, getting ready for this, for the day, and excited, first of all, because an Atlanta professional sports team has played. I mean, for the first time since the Hawks game in March, when Vince Carter hit that three to end the game, an Atlanta sports team has played a game.
And lost.
Well, they lost, true. but they played, and there was some rust factor. 1-0, the final score with New York Red Bulls with a winner over Atlanta United, but they played well. You could tell who was missing out there. Still missing Joseph Martinez, and a rust factor too. Just think about what these guys have been through just to get there and play last night. And who are they playing? Their arch nemesis. The team that's just been a thorn in their side from the day they started the franchise. That's who they were given to get. And it's a great match. And right down to the end with some opportunities. That goalkeeper for Red Bulls, he's like 6'5", man.
He's playing power forward when the NBA
it's
resumes.
Hard to get the thing past this dude. It was really difficult. We got the call from Mike Conte, who will be our guest later this morning, Greg.
Yes, he will, along with Adam Alexander, who's going to be joining us. Fox is going to be back calling races this week. Actually, it might be their last one, if I'm not mistaken.
The weekend race, and then they got the All-Star race Wednesday night. We'll ask them about that, too. They're doing something different with it this year. They're doing it at Bristol. But Jimmy Johnson is back. Remember last week, that was the big news, that Jimmy Johnson wasn't going to be able to drive the last time at Indianapolis, and he wasn't able to drive there. And he's back this week.
I'm adjusting my microphone here.
I wonder what you were doing in there.
Well, it's been sitting all week long, and I brought it in here. And then,
all right.
Hang on, I got your message there. Jahi. Let's see, a little bit better there, hopefully. You can come on in and tell me if it's good, Jahi. You know, you got a microphone there.
He does, doesn't he?
Gremlin
is
gone.
Remind him of that.
You can jump in there and say, everything cool? Does it sound okay?
The gremlin is gone.
Jahi?
I'm laughing over here. I'm sorry, guys.
You said have some fun, didn't you? I believe that was his last order to us. What did Sam?
Yeah. Good morning, Jahi. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man.
Pretty good. How about you guys?
We're doing fine. And you know what? We're looking forward to the updated HBCU. Well, it's redundant. Update, which comes at 8:40, which is featuring you. So you ready? You ready to give us some stuff that we're gonna say? Man, I didn't know that. This morning?
Yeah, I am ready. And I also have named it. And I wanted to unveil the name actually on the update.
Okay. Perfect.
So I have officially named it. So, yeah.
Here's what's going on, Sam. See, we got a lot of new stuff going on this morning or updated stuff. Because also, for the first time since we have done this, meaning remotely, I have a casting call.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing's starting to happen. I saw some stuff on TV this week about some things that are slowly starting to
back, and I turned it down. See, some of the lower budget projects are coming back, but the ones that, if something happens, and you can sue them afterwards, those are the ones I'm waiting for.
Okay.
I say that tongue in cheek, but you do want a protected set. Some things that are coming back, doesn't have the infrastructure of a project, a Tyler Perry, or a bigger studio behind it. And so, you know, you just got it's a time where you sit back and you look at the whole picture, just like the athletes are doing. Some are going to travel, some aren't going to travel. And so that's the same thing with the industry. So it's open.
Let me ask you this, though. Yeah. In a time like this, when things have been shut down, is this not an opportunity maybe for some upstarts to come in? You don't think so?
No, because, again, at the end of the day, you got to put people on set, and you don't know where those people have been. You have to get equipment that may not be readily available because it's already been called for by another production that's waiting to make a decision. There's a lot of stuff on the periphery that has to take place when you're putting on a production, whether it's TV, movies, or even independent, or you know, a low budget. You still have dozens of people on set, and unless you can do, let's put it this way, if you can't do what Tyler Perry's doing, where you get all 100 folks or however many are on a production, okay, I got some, you know, hotel rooms over here on campus and barracks and all that stuff. You're going to stay there for the next X amount of days or weeks. Make sure you're good, much like what they're doing in Orlando with the bubble, and then go on set, and everybody is around each other for that period of time. Unless you can do that, there's no guarantee. And when we know that makes sense, right? Because this virus is everywhere. Everywhere. So we can talk more about that, but I do have an industry. I'm calling it an industry call, not a casting call. Going to remind you about some things. And then I got a guy who's actually that helps me out with stuff and was willing to help people in our audience out that want to get started and do some things. He is in a new film that's coming out. So we'll get into that. But you brought something that we're going to have fun with, Mr. Crenshaw. Oh, actually, you did. But we talked about it throughout the show.
Throughout the show, Falcons All-Decade Team, and they're going to start releasing it, I believe, this week. And I was honored that I was, you know, invited to be one of the guest voters for it. And I think we'll share it with our listeners this morning. I think it's a lot of fun. I think people will enjoy it. I think they'll hear some names that, whoa, yeah, how about him? Or some names you say, well, no, like, yeah, he was really, really good, but not for a short period of time. Or some of the, if you go through the names, it remind you why things have been the way they've been, you know, with the team. How we had our great, great seasons, you know, headed for the Super Bowl, and then we had some disappointing seasons when some guys we thought were going to do great things weren't healthy, couldn't stay healthy, and through the course of the decade. So we'll have fun with that, and we're going to start later on this hour with the with what we started with
special teams.
Yeah,
I got to get into you for something.
So we'll have some fun with it.
I got to get into you for something because I had an idea. I don't know how long ago it might have been. We've been doing this for probably 7-8 weeks now as far as this remote show with you and I back together. And as we were trying to figure things out back then about what some of the colleges were, excuse me, one of the pro teams were going to do, and even some of the others, I suggested that maybe one of them make a call over to McEachern and see if they could use their facilities for practice, okay? And I was laughed at. I was given a shoulder. Right? Because it was a silly idea. Them high schools ain't going to give up them those facilities. And what happened this past week? Hello?
I don't know.
Well, a high school opened up its doors to some pros to go and practice. And we're going to talk about that with John Bednarowski. So my point is whether it is different, but it's still the pros.
Well, they were closed at the time. They weren't open to anybody. You were talking about having pros use it when they were closed to the kids.
They're open
to the kids now.
But does it matter?
They're open to the kids now.
Again.
Yes, it does matter. They were closed.
The field isn't. They
were closed to everybody.
They can unlock the gate.
They were closed to everybody at the time, Greg. They were closed to everybody at the time.
Yes, you're right. But I'm saying.
They're open now. They can do it now.
I'm going to let you keep going. I'm going to get my point in.
Okay.
I was making the point, Av, that whenever they were ready, they could call the high schools and ask if they could use those facilities. And I was talking whatever pro team, whatever pro sport, that because they couldn't get into those, as you said, the facilities were closed. I made a suggestion that maybe they could go into the high schools and use them. They're out there, whether it was baseball or football. If they couldn't get into theirs, call a high school. You're outside. Go out there and do some practice. And that was my suggestion. Yeah, they're open now, but I was making a point that, and now that it's happening, I'm trying to wave my flag and you're shooting it down, so.
They're going to shoot you down because they're open now. Yeah, they're open. Well, the kids can use them, so they're open. But everything was shut down there because nobody was allowed in. But we'll get into that today about the kids using them and how long will they be using them and the fact that where are they going to start the school year. All of a sudden, everybody's being encouraged to wear masks so we can have football. And we got a lot to get into this morning as far as where it stands and how dare them people up north tell us when about our
see, there you go again. You're misspeaking. They didn't tell you. They just made a decision.
They didn't tell nobody. They're telling us how to run our college football.
They didn't tell nobody.
It's true.
Okay, they didn't tell. They just made decisions. And they happen to be the biggest conference. They make the most money. That's what I mean when I say biggest. Okay?
They can't count either. They're still saying it's 10, and it ain't been 10 in 30 years. But
what about them folks out of California? 10. What about them Pac?
You know
what's that,
I mean?
Pac-10 out there?
You know. No, it's Pac-12. They're Pac-12 because they're 12 schools.
Everybody calls it the Pac-10.
Why can't the folks up north do math? Why can't the folks up north? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Okay, we're going to have to stop this up north slander real quick.
See?
Why can't the folk up north do math?
I just have to let you know my state school is up there.
He has some coffee, Jaheim.
He's angry. He's all upset. Hold on now.
You know what? No, I'm drinking H2O. I ain't had no coffee yet. Just wait. Go ahead.
You definitely ain't drinking out of that cup that you got brought back down like – you know, from Chicago.
No, I got it ready, though. I got it ready for my coffee when I get it here in a little
Big
while.
Big Ten right made now, a decision.
I'm drinking water.
And just like the professional sports, when the biggest one makes a decision, the dominoes fall. And they didn't tell anybody what to do. They just said, this is what we're going to do. And listen, by the way, that happens a whole lot down here in the South. Okay, it happens with the SEC. It happens with the ACC. They make decisions that the other conferences don't adhere to. So it works both ways.
And that's all the more reason why people are screaming, because we know the Power Five conferences are going to make every effort they can to plow through and have some form of a season. They want to get to the conference championship games, and they want to get to the playoff series games. We understand that. That's where the money's made, and that's what they want to try to do. And so why they couldn't all do it at the same time, I don't know, because they're all aiming for the same goal. Even though they're saying, you know, conference, and we still don't see how they're going to pull that off safely. But
you know,
they're all gearing up to try to do.
I had to laugh this week because what's that game, Musical Chairs? You ever played that? You know, and
yeah.
I was had that going through my head this past week when I thought about Notre Dame when these decisions were made, because they knocking on this door, can't come in here, knocking on that door, can't come in here. So we figured they're going to be playing in the ACC, but still, this is where an independent sort of suffers.
There are a lot of people who are screaming and lit screaming and yelling that nobody should let them in too.
We again, as Sam said earlier throughout the show, we're going to give you our thoughts on the all-decade team. Falcons all-decade team was listed out there. We're going to start with special teams coming up later on this hour. But up next, Sam and I are going to go down I-75, take a little trip over on I-4 over to Orlando and talk about what's going on down there. Atlanta United, the bubble, everything else is happening there. Jaheim's behind the board at the station. Thank you for everything. This is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app. All your devices, including smart speakers.
Red Bulls now trying to get out of jail in their defensive third. Franco Escobar steps up to press. Red Bulls, though, are able to thread it through down the middle. Here's a breakaway with Guzan off his line. Florian below to the spot. Shot score. Red Bulls in the fourth minute get the first goal of the match, and it is Florian Vallot, who tore his ACL in April of 2019 and missed almost the entire season, giving the Red Bulls the 1-0 lead.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That is the call. Mike Conti, who will be joining us later on the show, Atlanta United, goes down to the Red Bulls 1-0. Florian Vallot. Did I say that right, Mr. Crenshaw?
No, Vallot. You weren't listening to Conti. He called it Vallot. He pronounced it Vallot. That's why I was listening closely to see how he was at.
I was actually doing notes there. I just want to make sure. I got the first part right, but I started doing something.
Florian. And he's quite a story in himself. He's a guy who's had consecutive ACL injuries, and just think of all of what he's had to go through just to get back out on the field. And he's the one that gets a goal, and it was 4 minutes in. It was early in the, you know, the match, everybody's still getting settled into roles. And some people probably shaking their heads also, once again, at Frank DeBoer. Remember how a lot of people were trying to get used to him and what he did, you know, doing with the team. And early in the season, seems like some of those things have been worked out. It seemed like it was so difficult to do last year. He does some things last night in starting some new faces in this first match. Ezekiel Barco starting this match on the bench. And he's one of your top guys. You don't have him out there. So that's something else that people will look at and like, why ain't Barco out there? Why, you know, he's one of our top players. And all. Pity Martinez all over the place last night. Just all over the place, just trying to create opportunities and chances. And just you could tell something was just missing, Greg.
Yeah, there was a couple things missing. Yeah. It was just everything. That's what I was going to ask you. The whole experience, and this is what we're going through. We're going through it with other sports right now, is they just talk about it, or these exhibition games. You know, it was Korean baseball, but everything that we watch sports-wise, we wait for that reaction. We have it, and sometimes it's positive or negative, but whatever, we have it, but we don't hear it from that crowd. Mike Conti getting crazy when there's a goal scored, and him yelling over the crowd, which obviously he's, you know, having to deal with, but that not being there, there's just something very, it takes away, and we have to get used to it. We will get used to it.
We get used to it.
Right now, it's still sort of
awkward. That's
going
to be business. But now that's his business.
The other thing about this is, and you talked about this thing, this game was delayed about 45 minutes or so. There was lightning in the area down there at Wide World of Sports. Just that whole environment, which we're going to talk about, but being down there and watching sports, do you watch? Well, you were watching the match yesterday. Were you just kind of looking at it with a different kind of unexplainable feeling because you knew that, A, they're out of their element, B, they're doing what we're doing because of this virus out there? Obviously, it's not going to come and interrupt the game right away, but I find myself looking at these events wondering, man, I hope these dudes are safe. I hope these women are safe.
And, well, you know? And that's the thing. You got three bubbles if you in Florida, if you count the WNBA, the NBA, and MLS, and all, you know, getting set to play in a protected area. It's science class. It's science class, Greg. It's an experiment, and we want to see, because it gives us hope for other sports if these sports are able to do it with this protection in place and carry it off and compete. And I think that's what we're hoping. We're after every match, I mean, you're checking to see what players, if everybody tests, you know, negative, if everybody's feeling all right. That's the thing you watch for as well. So, I mean, that's the backdrop, unfortunately. That's more the story than actual the games themselves. It's going to be is how everybody is going into this. You know, with Nashville was sent home. You know, they couldn't get enough. They had a number of guys that were not healthy, and so Nashville is not a part of this tournament with MLS. So that's the thing. Will that happen to some of the NBA teams as they start to arrive and work out? And you know, that's the other question, Greg. I mean, we're seeing ballrooms. You've seen them put the basketball courts. Some teams flew their own basketball court in to work out on their own court, and they got ballrooms or whatever set up in there, and they got the courts set up, and it's amazing to see what's happening.
And you brought in the word science, which I'm glad you did, because I don't think that word is being used enough in the decisions that are being made on the sports world and other places. So, yeah, they're doing the best they can to get this thing on. But, again, the question was, do you look at these sports? Like when you've watched golf, let's see, the times you've watched golf, do you sit there and watch the event and go, man, I hope they're safe? When you sat and looked at we've watched NASCAR this year, not so much the drivers but those guys in the pits. Man, I wonder if they're safe. I hope they're safe. I just find myself doing that a lot as I've watched these sports, at least initially.
And the thing with NASCAR being the first one back, you say, okay, everybody's doing well. Everybody's doing well. And then who tests positive?
With
the biggest star.
I could not, you know, I shook my head. I go, of course, it's him. This is the guy who just can't get it right, or things just keep falling on him as far as him enjoying his last season. Now he's talking about, maybe I'll just go race some Indy cars next year. Maybe I'll have more success. But, I mean, poor Jimmy, actually you shouldn't say poor Jimmy Johnson, but as far as his career ending the way it is, I just look at him and go, man, this is not the way a seven-time champion is supposed to go out. But, you know, this is unforeseen. And, again, as we watch these races, I was one again at the pit. And, by the way, the last race, that dude got clipped in the Brickyard 400. In the pits. So if it's not the virus, it's cars going in that little skinny area there.
They had to come down and bring the ambulance down and take the guy off. And wow.
He got crushed in there. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's getting started on this Sunday morning. By the way, tell everybody you know, Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. until 10 every Sunday morning. We're getting back to Orlando. So we talked a little bit about Atlanta United and their loss to their nemesis. You like to call them, but, you know, we got NBA folks down in there. And do you hear some of the statements from some of the players and coaches that are down there? And by the way, one of the conversations that we had was whether or not some of these coaches, I'll put it like this, of age, were going to participate.
Yeah.
And the gold standard of the NBA decided yesterday that he was going to go, and that, of course, would be Greg Popovich in his five rings.
Yep.
He said he is going to go. Pop is 71 years old. He's making the trip. That's also going to be a concern. Not so much in the bubble, but just as college football and basketball eventually, you know, these coaches that are up there, man, do they make this trip? But, I mean, I looked at some of the comments of some of the players who decided to participate. Some were kind of brief, and some had issues. And if you don't mind, I'll give you one or two. In deciding to participate in Orlando, okay, Fred Van Fleet, Raptors. It sucks. It's terrible timing. Okay, that's him. Our boy Doc Rivers. There's so many reasons for everybody to play, but there are also very valid reasons for guys to opt out. I don't think many will. I think they are all invested in what we're trying to do. And then another one close to home here, Lou Williams. You know, he says, I got flack, and other guys are getting flack for saying, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't because reality is this. We have millions of people in the streets protesting. This is the first time in history all 50 states have had people outside protesting for one cause. You know, but we don't want to be a distraction. We want to be added. We want to be added help to the cause. So, again, a different perspective, man.
Yeah. And you know, I mentioned last week how I feel about that. You know, I think they add to the cause of the movement that's going on in the streets by going out and playing and representing and whatever gesture they do, whatever they wear on their jerseys, you know, that type thing, or whatever statement or gesture they make, more people will get to see that. More
exactly.
People get to see that. And
exactly.
Can we imagine now not having the image of Tommy Smith and John Carlos, you know, on that medal stand in Mexico City? And it's more than just sports people who are inspired by that. They're business people and different who have that photo on the wall in their office just for inspiration. And you know, what they did those years ago. It's an iconic photograph. They have opportunity. And I'll say that this week, that the MLS players did just that in the very first match of this tournament with Orlando City against Miami team. All of the black MLS players circled the field, and they were all dressed in black with black gloves on and held a clenched fist to open the play of the MLS tournament. Just a strong picture that anybody that saw won't soon forget. And so, I don't get players saying we're going to distract from it by playing games. You have an opportunity with your platform to make a gesture, then go out and compete hard and play and do the things that you normally would do in those circumstances.
Right.
If you go there and feel healthy doing it. But that's the activism piece that's still in place this week.
And the thing is, and most of those people who I have discovered that don't want to go down to Orlando, or they feel like the message is not going to be heard and they'd rather do it by protesting or do it on their own back here, it's just going to be just occupying things on social media. That's how they're going to do it. And that's fine. If you got hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people following you, okay, that's a platform too. Maybe they don't feel comfortable with a microphone in front of them. That's another thing that is being discovered during all of this. There are people who have very passionate feelings, but they aren't used to talking, man, in front of a camera. And the words that they want to get out don't come out the way they want to. So they just as soon sit back and you know, type them out and put them on their on their social media.
Yeah, but you know who that's going to change for this week. You know who that's going to change
for. Go ahead.
Who's going to play at the Memorial this week? After a long layoff, Tiger Woods is back. And I promise you, the first question he gets from the media will not be about golf.
No.
Will not be about golf.
No.
And I'm sure he's rehearsed his lines because it's something he's not used to. I'm sure.
No, you're absolutely right. He is going to be polished. He's going to be rehearsed.
He's not used to talking about this, and I'm sure he has been schooled, and because that's just his way. He doesn't go into place to face the media unprepared, and I know that from the first time I ever interviewed him years ago when he was a kid. Nobody has been more prepared for it to be into the spotlight than Tiger Woods.
Well, yeah, you figure the people he had as mentors telling him what to do. First you had Jack, then you had Jordan. He's been doing this for about 20 years.
And his daddy, too.
So right. Between those three, he's you're going to get you know, there's a couple people you think of when it comes to being polished and giving you, some will say nothing, but giving you the answer that you asked, but may not be what you want to hear. He's one, Tiger. Jeter's another one.
Yeah.
And those guys will always do that. They'll be very measured in their responses. Where you want what you want is Charles Barkley.
Yeah. But you know what? We're getting those guys back. With the NBA coming back, we're going to get those guys back in the studio. Shaq and Barkley, man, that's going to be.
Listen, they were at it this past week.
How much have we missed those guys?
No, they've been still at it though. They've been still. I watched Ernie Johnson. They have NBA Tonight is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So they had Thursday night. They had, you know, Shaq's at home and Kenny's at home and Ernie's at home and Barkley was sitting out there in Lake Tahoe, which makes me want to just spit and cuss and turn around because I'm supposed to be out there this weekend too. They ain't letting no media out there. But I was surprised that Charles was there. And you know what I heard? Well, let me save this story because it's something I didn't know about that Barkley did. That's why he's so beloved in that region. I mean, the dude is already beloved from coast to coast. But he did something special in Tahoe that I didn't even know about. Also, at some point, Sam, I want to revisit this whole bubble and what's going on down there because we're right up against it. But I know there was some WNBA stuff.
Yeah, WNBA stuff.
And yeah.
Especially around our local team. I got something to say about that. Weigh in on it sometime. But we'll move forward with it.
Yeah, we'll get back to that coming up. Our first dive into the Falcons All-Decade Team. Give you our thoughts. We'll talk about special teams first. But Sam will give you an overview how he got involved in this and how they reached out to him. But we are going to and would love to involve you too. 404-741-0929. Falcons All-Decade Team. Talk about that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. This is a joint where folks get down. Hey everyone, we're having fun. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg, tell everybody we're here from 6 until 10. Also, check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, I want to remind you, we're going to be talking to John Bednarowski. He has actually co-hosted this show before. He's with the Marietta Daily Journal. Not only does he have a new book out, but we're going to talk about what's been going on up in that Marietta area. Jackson's right down the street. But one thing that ain't going to happen this year, obviously, is ain't going to be a teepee in that place. They don't have all that toilet paper like they do Marietta High School every year.
Yeah,
they put all that stuff going on there. So we'll talk to John about that. Also, we're going to talk about some college football. And we're going to get to the All-Decade Team again, talking about the defensive side of the ball. But, Mr. Crenshaw, as we start this feature, we're going to run throughout the show. Talk about how you got involved with it and how you got connected with Falcons as they put out their All-Decade Team, or picking it, I should say.
Yes, the Falcons are doing something very special and unique, an All-Decade Team, which they were going to be unveiling this month, and I think starting this coming week, and you'll be hearing it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's been a lot of conversation about it. Being someone who's been in this area for a number of times and has covered the Falcons for a number of years, I was honored as being invited to take part, you know, in voting, and I think this will be something that it's kind of fun, you know, so I wanted to share that with you, Greg, and Jahi, and with our listeners this morning to just think about some of the top Falcons, who their favorite players are at the various positions for the past decade. Some you will remember quickly, some you might say, So I think it's a lot of fun, and it's something we're going to have some fun with this morning.
So let's see here. How do we do this? And I'm sure we may have this down pack how we're going to do it by the end of the show. But this first one, we're going to start with special teams. Do you want me to read off
yes.
the names they have put there? And then we could decide, no, or we just pick our favorite ones?
Yeah, we start with different positions.
All right, we'll start with one that I have no idea whose name is going to show up on this, but long snapper. They actually have a category of long snappers. And let's see.
That's
here.
A very important person.
It is a very important person. Could you name a long snapper?
Because if you don't know the long snapper, you know what? A guy who has worked with us at the 1990 game, who also worked and broadcast Georgia State football with Harper LaBelle.
He ain't on the list.
No, he's not. Well, that's a long time. Harper played when Glanville was coaching.
All-century team.
Be on
the,
that's the all-century team right there.
I love the fact that we got that mic going in the producer's room again. Loved it. I'd actually go to the station again and do that. Who's that? So long snappers, here are the names. Jeff, and forgive me if I mispronounce them, Jeff Overbaugh, Joe Zelinka, John Kondo, Josh Harris. Those are the names.
Yeah.
I don't know any of them. I'll be honest with you.
I'm going with Joe Zelinka.
Joe Zelinka? Okay, I'm going to piggyback on that because, you know. Jahi, do you know any of these guys?
Excuse me?
I think that answers my question.
You know, long snapper, and you know what?
There you go.
That means they've gotten the job done because the long snapper wants to be anonymous anyway. Usually they call his name as, you know why, bad snap.
Okay.
So most people don't know who he is anyway.
They have one here called special teams player. Okay, before we get to the other ones that you all know, but this is one, special teams player. There's a whole bunch of names on this one. So this is obviously guys who have a position that they would play, but they're maybe second on the depth chart or third, so they play on just special teams. Okay, we got Akeem Dent, we got Anton Smith, C.J. Goodwin, Chris Owens, Coy Wire. KZ's on this list.
TV these days.
Yeah, Drew Davis, Eric Weems, Jason Snelling, Josh Harris. So, you know, the list goes, there's a long, Bierman's on this list. Bosher's on this list.
And he's my pick.
Who's that?
Bierman.
Okay, that's a good one.
He's great. He's great, great special teamer.
Yeah, we'll go there. So then you have, let's say, punter. I'm going to save that for last. Punter. Anyone pop to mind? Mr. Crenshaw, because I think you know most of these. Casey Redfern.
Yeah.
Matt Bosher.
Yep.
Matt Wire.
Yep.
Michael, is it Conan?
Kanan.
All right.
Ryan Allen. Bosher clearly.
Yeah,
me
too.
It's been the most for the time, during the time. It's been very consistent.
Kicker. Telvecchio. Giorgio Telvecchio. Of course, you got Bryant
on
there.
There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one there, too. Yeah. And then here's the one that gets fun. Return specialist. Andre Roberts, Devin Hester, Dominic Franks, Eric Weems, Harry Douglas, employee of 92.9 The Game, or I don't know if he still is.
Yeah.
Jacquizz Rodgers, Justin Hardy, Marvin Hall, Robert McClain.
I'm going for Weems. I thought Weems was really good on special teams.
See, this one hurts my heart.
Guy would do some things, and HBCU dude. He's Bethune-Cookman.
See, there's a name on here that should be going into the Hall of Fame doing this, but unfortunately, he played for Lovie Smith, and he just took it out of him. And that's Devin Hester.
He had a great season here.
He had a great season.
He played here. He was really, and you know what? He did more receiving passes here. Well, I don't know why they never used him as a receiver up in Chicago. But they used him more here, and to me, he did a good job. Yeah, I thought about him, you know, but majority of the time, he was in Chicago.
Yeah, he was on the back end of his career when he got here. But anyway, there you can see it. So those are the special teams. Those are the names that are on there. And they're asking people now, have you've already voted, Sam?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're – and this is not open to the public. You have to be invited to this, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're just waving this in front of folks' face, and they can't go and participate in it.
Well, no, we just want people to have fun with it now.
Yeah. It does. It gets me when I think about that Devin Hester thing, because we've gone back and forth about this. I don't care how good he's looking in his two-tone beard right now up there in Illinois, But I just – the things he did when he was running that Bears team just make me shake my head. And Devin Hester was at one time just one of the all-time greats at his position. Oh, but he just got misused. Just misused.
Unbelievable.
So – anyway, well, there you go. So then we're going to be doing this throughout the course of the show. The all-decade Falcons all-decade team. Those are the special teams coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to do defense. Going to take an hour off because Jahi is going to present his newly named HBCU
newly
update.
Named, yes.
And
yes.
We'll find out what that name is at 8:40, and then a all-defensive team. I mean, excuse me, all-offensive team. That's good. You know, there's a discussion about the QB when we get to the offense. There will be a discussion about that.
You think so? No.
No. No. No. How so?
There won't
be. Let's wait till we get there.
There won't be.
Let's wait till we get there.
Yeah, you're thinking about somebody, but they weren't around during the decade. They were already gone.
Mm-mm. Anyway.
They were already gone.
Anyway. Yeah. You know what I got here? And at some point we got to do it because we've been off it for the last few weeks. And we're supposed to have fun. We were given orders by our producer, Sam, to have fun today. And so we haven't played 5-second rule
in
a while. I'm not doing it now. I'm just saying at some point we have to do this.
Okay.
So, you know, just be prepared for that. Listen, we got a few minutes left here, and I know that there was something that we left sitting on the table last segment. And while we were down in Orlando, and by the way, again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, we were talking about life down in Orlando, not just for the NBA players. We talked about Atlanta United, but there were some things that were going on with the WNBA that I thought that you wanted to elaborate
and they're
on.
Back, and they're back over. They're back over toward your pops. They're in Bradenton, I think, at the IMG Academy. It's where they're gonna be doing their playing. And so, this week big news locally. As Senator Kelly Loeffler would come out against, Black Lives Matter and her opposition to that, and you know she got a right to do that. She's the co-owner. It's the co-owner of the team, and speaking her piece and whatnot, and that's cool. But I was just thinking, man, you really got to think before you take on a professional sports entity that probably has the largest number of degreed participants or athletes than any of the others. And I don't have any facts or figures in front of me. I just know that nobody pays a women's basketball player to drop out of school to go and play and make money, make millions of dollars, which means the majority of the women who play in the WNBA have their degrees. There's intelligence, there is intellect, along with athletic ability.
See Maya Moore.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to take them on, you know, you better know you on the right side of whatever. If you're going to come after this particular group, more than the NFL, more than the NBA, more than MLS or Major League Baseball, because of the level of intelligence of the women who play in this league and their intellect. And like you said, Maya Moore doing what she's done is an example of what's really in the heart and the soul of so many of them in this league. And so, yeah, they of course. Kelly Loeffler got a tough time this week. You know, she's got a right, like I said, to speak her piece. But you better know you're going up against a group of people with that level of intelligence. And that's what I want to make sure and point out about the WNBA and the women that participate in it. And they're going to be playing in Bradenton.
Not the first person to say it, won't be the last. As we look at what's going on here, whether it's the pandemic or the movement, there are people who want to get it right, and then there's people who just want to be right. And that's what I see, you know. And so we will see how that plays out. The rank and file, all the members are coming against what's going on with Atlanta United and the comments that are coming out of one of the owner's offices up there. By the way, does she even have an office here? I thought she's not part of the day-to-day operations.
No, hasn't been since she's...
She's hearing all this noise. But, but the thing is, I've seen footage this past couple weeks of the conditions for the WNBA players, and it doesn't seem like they are very happy about that either. In fact, some of them are downright disgusted by some of the food, some of the accommodations, comparing it to what the guys in the NBA have in Orlando in the bubble.
There's some of the guys in the bubble that ain't happy about. I mean, that's And I guess you're going to have that, Greg. You get people out of what's natural to them. And you're going to have some people who are not going to be satisfied and happy with it. It's not your normal circumstances.
This is not.
You can't be around your family and your friends. You can't be around for folks. And that's part of the sacrifice that they're making. First, like I said, for this science class experiment to see if being isolated, and insulated will allow them to still participate in this sport. And like I said, it's a science class. Within that, you got people with their feelings. You got people who know that they're a world class. They're the best in the world at what they do. And they're used to being able to live a certain type way, and they have a certain expectation. And they got a right to have that expectation. They truly do.
They can feel that. But you were talking about brains a second ago, and it would be smart for millionaires not to complain about not being able to order room service. Okay, there's the optics, as they like to say, about certain situations. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the NBA players not being able to get out and jump in a car and go somewhere in Orlando late at night, or doing what they would normally do. They understood that when they went down there. I'm talking about the pictures I have seen from some of the NBA players where they're showing their accommodations and there's critters running around on the floor. Okay, they're showing some of the meals compared to what the NBA guys are getting. So I'm just saying they've made the sacrifice going down there, but yet they're talking about things not being equal, and in a time when that seems to be pivoting and leagues and businesses are doing their best to keep things equal on both sides. I mean, you regularly talk about the conditions as far as what happens on tennis tours and how that is evening out, and the case that's being made down in Orlando by certain WNBA players, or a handful of them, that the conditions are not, it just seems like it's not acceptable to a number of them. And they want everybody to know about it. And again, there's the science thing is one thing, but you're asking these people to come down there and provide a service, meaning entertain us, and they feel like they're not being taken A, seriously, and B, given the same things that the guys across the street are getting. So, it's all of this is going to play out over the next few weeks. And listen, it ain't a done deal that NBA is going to get going, because Adam Silver's already said this virus has humbled us all, so we might have to make another decision. So it's still a whole wait and see. Let's see, coming up 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some college football next. And
let's see.
Exactly. Dominoes are starting to fall there. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.